All right, let's welcome in our next guest. Switch it up, talk some Jazz basketball as they are red hot. You can find our next guest on Twitter at Trib Jazz. He's our Utah Jazz insider, and you can read him in the Salt Lake Tribune. It is Tony Jones. Tony, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Tony.
What's up, guys? How's everything?
Tony, what's the difference you've seen in this Jazz offense just over the last two games where they're scoring about 130 points a night, it seems like?
There are a couple of differences that are kind of stark to me. Number one, Dante Exum has become a viable backup point guard. And, you know, and that's helped drastically with the continuity of your offense in the minutes that George Hill has not been on the floor. Alec Burks has been really good coming off the bench. Joe Johnson has been really good. And Derek Favors has been really good. And all of this has happened simultaneously. And all of this has kind of happened since Saturday, when the Jazz frankly struggled at home to beat the Charlotte Hornets. So it's, you know, just been kind of like a switch has been turned on. And, you know, these aren't the little sisters of the poor that the Jazz have been offensively shredding. The Atlanta Hawks, they've had the fourth best defense in the league this year. And the New Orleans Pelicans have had the eighth best defense, and they've shredded both of those teams. So if the Jazz can keep playing like this, I mean, I think that they become a really dangerous team going down the stretch and into the playoffs.
What was the biggest key to the defense Derek Favors and Rudy Gobert played against Anthony Davis last night, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, in a large part, Gobert and Favors, they kind of face guarded Davis, really tried to limit his touches regardless. And it wasn't until deep in the second half or in the third quarter that New Orleans finally figured out that, hey, you know, AD's not going to get much one-on-one against these guys. We have to put them on the move. You know, so they started putting them in screen and rolls. They started getting them on the move, and he did kind of break out a little bit in the third quarter. But, you know, part of the other reason is just that Gobert is just, you know, because he was AD's primary defender. I mean, both of those guys are just great defenders. I mean, Gobert's a great defender. Derek Favors, when he is healthy, he is a great defender. And, you know, and when both of those guys are healthy, you have one guy at the rim, another guy on the floor, and it's just hard for bigs to really thrive in that kind of environment when they're guarded by those guys. And, you know, Rudy Gobert, he takes every challenge, he takes every slight, and he plays with a chip on his shoulder. So, you know, when he saw Anthony Davis, you knew that he was going to rise for a challenge, and he was going to try to play good basketball.
Tony, what are you seeing from Dante Exum? He's always had upper tier, high level NBA potential. He's just really struggled at times to put it together. What over the last three games has him looking like maybe a better than average NBA player?
Well, like I've always tried to say, you know, on the show, he's got the tools, man. I mean, he's got really, really good speed, and he's got a great first step, and he's 6'6", and he's very athletic, and he's a very good passer. And, you know, he's just gotten on the floor the last three games and stopped thinking. You know, he's stopped thinking about what if I make a mistake or what if, you know, something goes wrong. And he's just figured out ways. He knows that he can get into the lane pretty much regardless of who's guarding him. But he's gotten into the lane and he's finished, which is where he struggled. And he's gotten into the lane where he's, you know, found cutters and he's found guys in the corner, which is what he's really good at. I mean, he's always been a really good passer. And he's just kind of put it all together, in these last three games. Now, I think part of that is because Jazz have been down a man in the rotation, which is Rodney Hood. He hasn't played in the last week. And, you know, that means that there are minutes that are guaranteed for him, in that vein. It would have been interesting to see these last three games if Jazz were fully healthy. And, you know, there were basically 11 guys for a 10-man rotation. But it's just been impressive to see him just kind of go out there and just not think and just play the game of basketball. And when he does that, he's a really good player, and he has an immense ceiling.
How many more nights should Jazz fans expect, like last night, from Joe Johnson?
Well, I mean, as long as the Jazz, you know, keep his minutes reasonable, 20 to 25 minutes, I mean, you should expect it just, I don't want to say infinitely, I mean, but, you know, he's not a guy whose game has fallen off. I mean, you know, he's never been a guy whose game has been predicated on athleticism. So you don't have to worry about him slowing down because he's always been slow. But he's 6'8". He's 240 pounds. I mean, he's an immense human being in person, and he's always had a great skill set. Now, the one thing, you know, I've always watched Joe Johnson, you know, from afar in his career, and I've always known he is a great shooter, great post-up guy. You know, I didn't realize how good a ball handler he is in tight spaces. And he's a guy who can take a pick and roll. He can get a defender on his back. And he just kind of has the ball on a string on a yo-yo. He's one of the best ball handlers on the team. So he can get from point A to point B pretty much anytime he wants. So, you know, he's a guy that as long as his jumper is falling, you know, and as long as, you know, his minutes stay reasonable, because the reason why he couldn't hit a shot last year in the playoffs was because he was still playing starters minutes at 34 years old, so he kind of wore down at the end of the season. So I think the Jazz want to try to prevent that, but as long as they can keep him fresh, I mean, he's a guy who can be a lethal scorer off the bench.
Tony Jones is our guest, 1320 K fan. Do you expect to see Rodney Hood immediately inserted back into the lineup when he gets healthy? Because it seems like the offense really clicks when Joe Ingles is out there with his passing ability and obviously his ability to spread the floor.
Yeah, I expect to see Rodney back into the lineup when he's healthy. I mean, I think it's his spot, and I think that he's earned the right for it to be called his spot. And I don't think that there's much controversy there. I think that Rodney Hood is your starting shooting guard. I think that he's a guy who's a really, really good second scorer on the perimeter to Gordon Hayward. And I don't think that there's much question there as to who's the starting shooting guard on this team.
If people don't know, Jabari Parker tore his ACL again last night, the second time now in 3 years. What does this mean for Jabari's future?
Yeah, I'm really gutted for the kid, man, because, you know, you knew what it, you saw how long it's taken Dante Exum to kind of look himself. I mean, it's been like in the last week where he's kind of looked like Dante Exum. And, you know, it was the same thing for Jabari Parker last year when he came back from the first ACL. It took him a half a season. It wasn't until the second half of last season that Jabari Parker started to look himself. And he's been really, really good. I mean, he's a lethal scorer as a combination forward. He can take you off the dribble. He can score in the paint. Really, really athletic. Really good in transition. I mean, he put on a dunking exhibition a couple of weeks ago here at Vivint Smart Home Arena when the Bucks were here. So, you know, I really worry about him. Two ACLs to a guy like that, I mean, that can really sap his athleticism. You saw what happened with Derrick Rose. You saw it with Michael Redd about 10 years ago. I mean, his second ACL surgery kind of almost ended his career as a really good player. So, you know, I look at Jabari and I say, okay, he's 21 years old, so, you know, that works in his favor. But, I mean, you know, just as a fan of the game of basketball, I'm just really sad on this day because I think that he's a really good player. I think from afar, I mean, I don't know him up close and personal, but from afar, he seems like a really good kid, and he just doesn't deserve this.
You can find him on Twitter at TribJazz. Read him in the Salt Lake Tribune, our Utah Jazz insider. Great stuff, Tony. Thanks.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.